Mikey Carpenter has an intriguing CV. He's a colourist working in film, television and advertising, with a second career as a manager of artists like singer-songwriter Georgia Lines. From accountant and taxi driver to confidant, Mikey says it's all part of an artist manager's job. And as a long-time musician himself, he's already experienced the ups and downs of this fiercely competitive industry. In his other more technical role as a colourist, Mikey Carpenter works on films, TV shows and rock videos like Benny's global sensation Super Lonely to make sure the finished product looks $1 million. There's a gallery of his work on the Standing Room Only webpage. Well, first, I asked Mikey what a colourist job involves.
A colourist, I guess, is kind of the last process that happens in filmmaking or commercials or TV shows. Yeah, it's that process at the very end, once everything's been shot, edited, pulled together, one of the last things to do is to make it look as pretty as possible. So make sure all the pictures are balanced and all the shots match together. And, you know, if someone wants something to be a bit warmer or a bit cooler or a bit darker or a bit brighter, people bring stuff to me and hopefully make it look better than worse.
I imagine technology, has it made life easier, or is it still a really finickety kind of process?
Definitely. It's made it easier and it's made it cheaper. Like, you think of colourists, even 10 years ago, you know, systems would be $250,000. These days, you know, some of the software is free and you can run it on an iMac, you know. So it's, technology's come a long way, and the software itself, there's so many more tools now than what were back in the day, where you had very limited tools to change an image. But now there's all sorts of things you can use. So it's, you know, it's a tough job, but it's definitely been made easier by technology for sure.
And there's the fact that we're digital now, not film. So do you work in both? Does digital work also need coloration, if you like?
Yeah, totally. Yep. Yeah, I mean, I've graded very, very small amounts of film in my life. Like, I'd love to grade more. It's beautiful to work with. But no, these days, yeah, all digital cameras is what's been used, and it's what gets shot, and we get given a very, what's called a flat image. So it's very unsaturated and kind of zero contrast. So that means that you have the latitude to add those things in so that they're not already kind of burnt into the image, if that makes sense.
I was talking to a colourist from the archives, Alexander Turnbull Library, the other week. He works obviously primarily with film, and that kind of job of revisiting old film and trying to get it back to the true colours. I guess the sort of work you do, music videos, ads, that sort of thing, it's maybe not about getting somebody's natural complexion. You know, maybe the job for you sometimes is heightening the colour.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's the great thing with doing music videos, is you learn a lot on a music video, because it's great to grade commercials and ads and that kind of stuff, but they generally are, you are just trying to make them look how they were shot and as normal and as pretty as possible. But then with a music video, you kind of get to use your creative brain and make things look sometimes however you want them to look or however the director perceives them to look. So, you know, you learn a lot when you're grading music videos, because there's kind of no limits really in what you can do, and you have a lot more freedom than, say, just, you know, making a piece of chicken look the right colour.
So I'm just trying to imagine a picture. So you have a music video, maybe you have an artist. Can you change the colour of their outfit at the same time? Maybe they don't want a green vase there anymore. They want it to be blue. I mean, how specific can you be in terms of changing the colour of individual elements of something like a music video?
Yep, you can do all of that. Yep, all the time, changing colours of tops, changing colours of the colour of someone's car. You can do all sorts of stuff. That is a great thing with the new technology, is there's all these tools where, you know, you can select certain colours and put the hue at whatever you want the brightness to be. So it is limitless, and, you know, you can get really creative with music videos, where you start with an image that could be, you know, not very exciting, then by the end of it, you've really changed it into something beautiful and cinematic.
You've worked with artists including Benny, and I've interviewed Benny a couple of times. She'd be quite fun. Do you find the artists are heavily involved with that final look of the music video?
Yep, 100%, especially with Stella. Well, Benny, she is super involved all the way through the process, and she's great to work with. She's real fun, good person to be around, always up for a laugh, but, you know, is also very aware of, you know, how she wants things to look and has a lot of say in the way, you know, for instance, things like, you know, how saturated or contrasty something is, or how dark it is it too dark for the song? All these kind of things are definitely taken into consideration. And I think it's good. I think it's good that artists get involved in that stuff, you know. I think it's a big part of the whole branding of who they are.
When you're presented with digital work that's perhaps been really badly filmed, maybe the light's appalling or something like that, or it's been filmed badly lit at night, I imagine that can be quite challenging. Do you get excited, Mikey, about it going, I can transform this, man? Or are there still limitations?
You know, probably what most people experience is when you first start doing a job, at the beginning, all you ever really get to work on is bad stuff because no one's going to trust you with the nice stuff, right? So, you know, I probably spent the first 3 or 4 years of you know, colour grading and being a colourist, working on stuff that's been badly shot. And what you learn from that is really ways to fix it, because that's kind of all you can do is, like, I'm trying to make this shot look as good as possible, but man, it's been shot terribly. And you still do get that occasionally, but I guess the good thing is the longer you do it, hopefully the nicer work you get, and, you know, it's not so bad. I've been working on quite a few long-form TV shows in the last few years, and you get a lot of archive footage come through. So, like, all the Patrick Gower shows that I've been grading, like, they have a lot of archive from old TV, you know, TV news shows and that. They're quite hard to deal with because they don't look pretty, but you're trying to sit them inside of a very beautifully shot, modern-looking show.
You've worked on a few short films. I was cruising through your CV.
Oh, yep,
a few horror films. Now, that must be so much fun for a colourist.
Yeah. I mean, short films, again, are another one where you kind of get to have a bit more of an artistic touch on them because, you know, you are trying to tell a story. And again, you want to take what the DOP and director have shot on the day and just enhance that to help tell the story. And, yeah, I mean, I've worked on all sorts of random short films, from horrors to comedies to documentaries. They're all great. I love all of them. The thing is, when you're colour grading, you're not really... I usually just listen to podcasts because, you know, you spend so long on a shot. So sometimes you'll watch it through once and then you won't watch it again for a couple of weeks until you've finished it and you're kind of like, what's this about again? And then you're like, oh, that's right.
When you're not in your darkened studio, you may be found as being an artist manager. Goodness, what got you into that, Mike?
I've been a musician my whole life. I played in bands. I played in a band called AutoZam for about 12 or 13 years. So I've just had a love of music, and I'm a sucker for a good song. So when I stopped playing music, I would do a lot of work with a lot of young artists out of Rockquest, because I was kind of worked for Rockquest for a long time as well. And I always found there was a bit of a gap between, you know, people leaving school and then people going into the music industry. And I just wanted to help, you know, artists bridge that gap. So, yeah, when I hear a good artist and I hear a good song, I instantly just think I need to tell the world about it. So then I, you know, start managing that artist and work as hard as I can for them. It's a tough job, especially in a small country. But basically managing, you just have to enjoy the journey, really, and not stress too much about whether you're winning or losing. It's just as long as you're having a good time along the way. And believing in your artists, because you want them to believe in you and you to believe in them. So we both work as hard as each other.
So you're talking about this, describing the role, and it was everything from accountant and mentor to taxi driver and father. And yeah. I guess especially when you are working perhaps with a young artist, it can be pretty brutal seeing the music industry, especially when you're young. So I guess there's an awful lot of trust involved.
Oh, totally, yeah. Yeah, and there's trust on both sides. You know, you want to be able to trust your artist that when they go and do the job that you want them to do, whether it be performing or interviews or all the things that are involved with being an artist, that they do a good job, and on the other side of that, that you'll do a good job for them. So when you're out there representing them, you're the face of the band to a lot of people. I think the whole thing with being an artist manager, especially for young people, is just to be honest and be straight up. And it's okay to make mistakes, and it's okay to make mistakes together, because no one's going to get it right all the time. And I think, you know, a lot of people probably spend a lot of time waiting for the right moment, where I'm more of like, let's just do it. Let's just keep working, keep putting stuff out. We're not always going to make the right decision. No one ever does. But let's be okay with it and just enjoy the journey.
So what are some of the biggest obstacles or possible hurdles for a musician entering the industry? I mean, I would have said signing a contract with a dodgy artist manager.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think one of the main problems these days is that there's just so much music that you're competing with. So, like, fresh artists in this country, there's, you know, obviously we all want to get songs on the radio and we all want to get Spotify playlists, but you've got to kind of look around and go, well, I'm not the only person doing this anymore. There's something like 40,000 songs a day getting added to Spotify. So you know, and that's probably up 50% on what it was 5 years ago. So you just need to be confident, know what you're doing. But the challenges, it's like it's a very noisy music world, and entering it, as long as you're aware that it's going to take time and patience and do the hard work, and you'll get noticed. But it's not, you know, it's very rarely that it's just going to happen within a year or a couple of years. You need to work hard. You know, that's sometimes hard things for musicians to hear, is that they need to actually do the work.
You mentioned before maybe seeing an artist and really going, yeah, yeah, I get this music and I really want to represent them. Can you represent, be an artist manager for somebody whose music maybe you don't love, but you've got a lot of respect for the musician?
That is a good question. I mean, for me personally, I need to have a connection to the music. Yeah, I guess because it's not my 100% full-time job, like I'm committing to something that I need to really love and believe in. I'm sure if I decided to be a full-time manager and looked at every opportunity to make money with artists, then I might have a different frame of mind. But for me personally, yeah, I really need to be in love with the songs and the artists and the people in the band to really want to go to work for them.
Of course, a big part of being a musician these days is social media. Yep. And as you were saying, you're trying to cut through this avalanche of new music that's coming through all the time. That's tricky. I'm sure you work with some musicians who love it. You know, it's a natural home for them. But then you have to have those conversations, I'm sure, of how much to share.
I haven't, don't think I've really met any musicians that love it, to be honest. Again, it's a part of the work that needs to be done. If you're going to take music as a career, you need to kind of stand back and go, well, what are the steps that I need to take to make this successful? And these days, yeah, social media is a big part of it. And feeding your fans and not overfeeding them and making sure that the stuff you are putting out is quality. And I've discovered a lot of great music through social media. I'm really happy for it. I think it's great that there are artists out putting up songs and you come across them. The old way used to be like you hear a song on the radio and you go find the artist or someone would recommend it. But these days, you scroll through a feed, especially because of what my feed's full of. I just see new songs all the time and I love it. I think it's great.
Mikey Carpenter, you can hear more from him in a moment on our webpage rnz.co.nz/standingroomonly.